Well, I don't know. Doesn't matter to me.
I don't want to start. You start.
Okay, I'll start.
We started, so I mean, we might as well. Here we are into a great start that we're off to. Take it away, Joby.
All right, Hoops HD fans, thanks for having us once again. And we're going to go through. My name is Joby Fortson, and we've got David Griggs as well with his usual great banter and insight. How much have you had to drink tonight, David?
Just a case. Well, I mean, tonight or all day long? Tonight, well, about, I don't know, 7 or 8.
7 or 8 bottles or cans?
Yeah, cans. Bottles, like I mean, the bottles are more expensive, and the cans do just as well. I mean, you could really have some fun with some cans.
Very good. Well, tonight we're going to basically take a look at some of the big, large conferences, your multi-bid leagues, and also touch on other teams that look like they're doing well, kind of without doing a pure bracket breakdown, more of a conference-by-conference analysis.
Yeah.
And let's start with the conference that seems to be on everybody's mind right now, all over the place, with so many teams up for bids, both in the bubble, outside the bubble, and that's the Big Ten.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts generally on the Big Ten right now?
Well, I've been – it's kind of funny. The teams coming into the season, the teams that I really thought were going to do well, particularly Nebraska, has turned out to be just an utter disappointment. They've lost – it's just not – it isn't that they've stubbed their toes one or two times. It's that they haven't managed to get any wins of note, and they've lost to teams that clearly do not appear to be making the field. On the flip side, you have Maryland, you have Iowa, Indiana being another one, teams that I did not think were going to do anything this year, all looking to be, you know, on the bubble, inside the bubble, really doing well. And if the season ended today, which it's not, the data is very incomplete, I think all the three of those teams would be in. I think all three of those teams are going to get in the way they've been playing. Iowa has been unbelievably surprising to me. I just didn't think they would have anything this year. They've done really well. So, to me, it's just sort of upside down from where I thought it was going to be when the year started. Michigan, Michigan State, Nebraska struggling, and Maryland, Iowa doing very well.
Now, Wisconsin being the one constant, obviously, Wisconsin's fighting for a number one seed by the end of this, I feel.
Right.
There also is the look at Ohio State. There's been some discussion. Ohio State got a nice win this weekend against
Illinois. They really needed that because
they needed, and who would have thought, you're hitting the point, who would have thought Ohio State needed a Illinois win at this stage? But the wins just aren't as impressive. A lot of home court hero stuff. And the losses are just ho-hum. I mean, it's the great schedule that Ohio State probably thought they put together just hasn't matured into that. And as such, they found themselves a little bit needing to do well in conference. I think they will. But if they just go mediocre 10-8, they might be sitting at home.
Right. Coming in the conference play prior to beating Illinois, who's pretty good in that they beat decisively, their best win was arguably High Point. They had no wins away from home. They still don't. At least, none of any kind. None of neutral, none away. That is a problem.
Right.
Why would you, when you looked at last year and the year before, I mean, every year it becomes more and more egregiously obvious that if you don't win away from home, it's better to beat NIT teams away from home than it is to beat ranked teams at home. That seems to be what the committee's saying, yet you have, and I don't want to pick on Ohio State because they, by no means are they the only ones. Why do you have teams that get out there and schedule no true road games out of conference or one or two neutral games and that's it? You're essentially taking a pass on making any sort of a case for yourself out of conference that you belong, and you put that much more pressure on you to do well in conference. And like you just said, 10-8 may not be enough.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What's very interesting about Ohio State is I think we all know they have the talent. It will be interesting if they perform to that talent level. Luckily, the Big Ten, given the strength, given even the Illinois and the Minnesotas of the world, there's chances to build a nice resume. They will have away games that will matter.
Right.
But they're going to need to take advantage of it, needless to say. A team that actually scheduled some nice out-of-conference away games but didn't take advantage of them, but this weekend took a big step, is the conference that looks the deepest, and by deepest is their last place team is actually not awful, is the Big East.
Yeah.
DePaul with a very nice win this weekend.
DePaul,
though, is the team I want to talk about.
Yeah. Wow. Now, DePaul is, and again, just a couple of statistics here. The Big East, let me find it here. What was their overall record? They had the best overall winning percentage, I believe, of any conference. You would think I would be able to find that here. Oh, here we go. Yeah, the Big East collectively is 92-30 right now out of conference. I stand corrected. The Big 12's actually done better. The ACC done slightly better. But, I mean, a really good overall out-of-conference record, which puts them, I believe, number two currently in the RPI. Now, that will change. I realize we're in the conference play, and people think that it's pretty stagnant, but it still will move up because who you played out of conference, what they do in conference still impacts your overall RPI and your out-of-conference strength of schedule.
Yeah.
And things of that nature. So that, I mean, they may not stay at second. In fact, they probably won't. But still, a very strong season with you know, no real bad teams. The league kind of upside down right now. You got Seton Hall and DePaul, the only two 2-0 teams in the league. DePaul 8-7. With some of the things that are working against them, only 1-2 on the road, no wins on a neutral floor. But they got two big ones at home, and they beat a Xavier team, which Xavier isn't quite as Arkansas as Arkansas. I know we'll get to them in a second. You wanted to talk about DePaul. But Xavier's becoming Arkansas, where they can beat top 15, top 10 teams at home and then struggle to beat sub-NIT teams on the road. That is just not going to get it done anymore.
Well, you know, DePaul got a nice win this weekend. But the team that really showed me something is the back-to-back wins that we've seen in conference now from Seton Hall.
Yeah.
I mean, that's outstanding. Obviously knocking off previously undefeated Villanova, who I still think, despite the loss, is a very strong candidate eventually for a number one seed maybe. Minimum right now, I'd still see them number two as a two.
Right.
Even with a loss. And beating a St. John's team that we've talked about in the past is not your typical Lavin team. It
right.
seems like they are worthy in a tournament team right now.
Yeah, and was this a little bit, was this Seton Hall, was it kind of in front of our faces but we still didn't see it? This was a team that if you look back to the end of last year, they were so far out of the picture that it went unnoticed. They didn't play well, poorly at all down the stretch. They actually had some big wins to close out the regular season and looked pretty good in the conference tournament. You know, so, and then they come in, and they were, I believe, they're 12-2 on the year. Their only loss is Wichita State, a team they played really well against out there in Wichita. So that was no small thing. And then their other loss, I believe, was to Georgia, who pounded them. That was kind of a surprise. But they have a win against St. John's. They blasted Rutgers, not that that's anything special. Beat George Washington, who's got a bloated record. This Seton Hall team, I don't think it's smoke and mirrors. They might actually be for real.
Well, I actually think that GW team isn't half bad. I'd consider that a pretty darn good win. They're going to be on the verge of ranking. And
right. You
know what? Rutgers did beat a Penn State team this weekend that had maybe that's the definition of a bloated record. But
yeah. Okay.
But I just really like what they've done, and the Big East generally, as a whole, has really shown me something. Yeah, you know, this year,
yeah.
They're going on without their former mates Syracuse and UConn pretty effectively.
Right, and as much as we miss like Syracuse, Georgetown, you know, UConn, and Syracuse, Georgetown in particularly, there is some, it isn't there yet, but you can see some friction bubbling under the surface here, like to where the rivalries might be coming back.
Well, I just love the fact that they still, except for maybe Creighton being the exception, because I'll include Butler in this, they still are schools based in big cities.
Yeah.
That often recruit from those big cities. And you can see the grit that, you know, and the toughness that comes out of it, much like the old Big East.
Yeah.
A conference that is a little different in how they recruit, because it seems like everybody in the conference nationally recruits, is the ACC. The ACC still seems to be very top-heavy, so to speak. There's some bad teams, I mean, Virginia Tech, et cetera, down the line. Florida State I'd now throw officially into that category as well, despite their miraculous win over Florida, who is no great shape.
When you want to talk about a miraculous win, I have never seen – that is the definition of beating yourself. I mean, holy crap.
yes, team basket for the win. I don't know when the last time, if that has ever happened in NCAA history.
We might see it, but
at the top, we might be seeing this weekend, we might, despite two losing efforts, we might be seeing two teams saying, hey, we might be able to make some noise, at least be that bubble team to think about. Because right now, we're looking at teams like Virginia, Duke, Louisville, et cetera, that are
five.
Likely in the North Carolina, top of the bracket type teams.
But yeah.
In Notre Dame, got the win that they needed to.
Yeah, they did.
To show they are. But I think this Georgia Tech team ain't half bad.
They're not.
They beat a good Georgia team.
Yeah.
And on top of that, Miami showed a lot of fight despite the double overtime loss to Virginia this week.
Yeah, Miami, I think they were the ones that I was impressed with the most. They came out, looked good at the beginning. At least we thought they did. But then you start thinking, well, maybe that win against Florida wasn't as good as it originally appeared, and they went out and struggled against teams that you thought they would. They wouldn't struggle against. Now, they still have lost, I think, four of their last six. But to have Virginia, to take them to double overtime, a really good Virginia team, and I hate to use the term eye test, but they looked really good in their game before that against Charleston, blew them out of the place. I think this team may be back. They should win their next game against Boston College. It gets really tough after that, the back-to-back road games with Duke and Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. But if they can take down a heavyweight or two at home and pick up, take care of business against your sub-NCAA teams, like your NIT teams and below on the road, I think they're going to be all right.
Yeah, I mean, they are the exact opposite in a lot of ways, we could say, of Ohio State.
Right.
Yeah, I think NA probably would do it, but you're right. They probably need one against the NCAA field that comprises the ACC, your UNCs, your Dukes, your Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, was a good shot, you know, on that one, but Louisville, et cetera.
Yeah.
Into kind of the next, the opposite side, we talked about the Atlantic. Let's talk about the Pacific 12.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I would like someone to explain to me Cal.
Oh, my God. Cal did something today that is really the Surgeon General advises strongly against. They lost to Wazoo. How in the world do you lose? Sometimes surprising things happen. That was one of them. I am astounded that they lost that game.
And from my own internal looking at things, I said, oh, after Cal beat Washington, who I still think is a very solid team, I said, oh, Cal might be an NCAA tournament-worthy team here. They're definitely a bubble team. Then all of a sudden you lose to Washington State, and I go, well, no, forget about that for now. The top part of the conference, we all know Arizona is going to be competing one of these teams for a top seed. We know that. If they take care of business like they did against Arizona State tonight, they're odds-on favorite for that Western number one seed, you know, just the way it goes. There's other very solid teams. I do think Washington's a solid team. Yeah. Below them, Stanford has beaten a good Texas squad, et cetera.
Yeah,
God, what has happened to UCLA?
Well, they're on the out. I mean, They've been abysmal. They've been, I mean, every year we say it, like the preseason top 25, a third of it's going to miss the field, and two-thirds of it probably won't be in the final top 25. UCLA is looking at being one of those two situations. I mean, they've been real disappointing. I believe this makes five in a row they've lost, and they've lost huge, like Gonzaga, Kentucky. I realize it's Kentucky, but my God, they didn't just lose to Kentucky. They lost spectacularly. Alabama, who is not by any contention a really strong team. I mean, they're decent. I know we're going to get to the SEC in a second. I don't think Alabama is the kind of team you look at and say, yeah, solidly inside the bubble right now. They're not. Colorado, been a disappointment. Now, Utah is really good, but
Utah's great.
Do you need to be losing to 40 by 42 at Utah today? I mean, Utah just obliterated them.
I will say Utah proved to me against Kansas earlier that Utah's real, but man, are they that real? Are they Kentucky real? I don't know about that.
Yeah. I talked to all five UCLA fans out in Los Angeles earlier this week, all five of them, and they're all very concerned.
let's forget, you know, I mean, they don't have any awful, awful, awful losses as far as like who they lose to, but 8-7, do you really think that they're going to have a winning record in the Pac-12 with your Oregons of the world, even your Arizona States who lost Arizona tonight? Right. I don't see how this UCLA team gets to 500 in the Pac-12.
I don't think so either. Looking ahead, Stanford, very good. Now they get them at home. Cal, depending on when you get them. Oregon State is not going to be an easy place for them to win. I don't think Oregon State's inside the bubble. They're probably nowhere close to the NIT, despite having a somewhat impressive record. But they're not easy to beat at home. I don't think people understand how difficult it is to even beat sub-NIT teams on the road, much less good ones. That's not going to be an easy win. In fact, that game against Oregon State, the two against USC and Oregon State, if they don't get both of those away from home, who are they going to beat away from home? Anybody? I mean,
and what's crazy is Washington, you know, the Washington State situation. Washington State actually won a road game, as we mentioned.
Yeah, that was the goofiest thing. I mean, well, wazoo, they're 7-7, but
well. You know, we mentioned the Big 12's outstanding out-of-conference record, and you know, Kansas got a scare from Utah. The Big 12 really has a lot of teams, once you get beyond Kansas, that I think have a lot of interchangeable. It's tough to distinguish. We saw that this weekend, I think, with Baylor-Oklahoma, a great game, Oklahoma coming out. Iowa State slipping, I think, back to the Baylor-Oklahoma level when it looked like they might rise up.
Yeah,
Texas might have.
Because I was so big on this Iowa State team, and I mean, I still think that they're safely in, you know, very much top 25 first ballot teams, but I don't think that they're the Final Four caliber team that I thought they were a couple of weeks ago.
I think they could still easily get a protected seed, though. I mean, they're still that. I think they're that talented, which could equal, you know, in the craziness of March, what happens. Yeah. But once again, just like the Big East, with their limited number of teams that could receive more bids than half the league, over half the league getting bids, I think the Big 12 makes a strong argument for that as well.
Yeah.
Kansas, Baylor, Oklahoma, Iowa State, West Virginia. I always forget that West Virginia is in the Big 12, but
yeah,
they are
because
darn
there's geographic and historical outlier. And again, we saw a game yesterday, Saturday. We're recording this Sunday night. You're probably listening to it on Monday, but we're recording it Sunday night. Between the two teams with the best records in the Big 12, and it was like just classic West Virginia and TCU.
TCU.
Does TCU finish above 8th in this conference? I have just been underwhelmed by them. I think it's now I will say this about TCU. When you have absolutely no history and no interest in your program, for them to go undefeated, to crack the rankings, at least it got some energy and attention to a program that had none. But don't be fooled. It was smoke and mirrors. I'm not even holding it against them for doing it, because when you have to get the fire started some way, but I don't see them finishing better than ninth.
They probably won't, but
yeah,
they didn't beat Ole Miss along the way, and not that that's a world-beating situation. Ole Miss is not an awful team. They're right. An NIT team. They won on the road to do it. I think TCU will make some damage. I think they're better than Kansas State.
I think
they're better than Texas Tech. I do see eighth, and who knows? They might be able to pop up and surprise some folks. Yeah. We'll just have to see as it develops.
Yep.
But right now, I think they're well behind the two Oklahoma schools, even Oklahoma State. Nice win this week. Strong, strong performances of the Big 12 generally, which leads us to the much maligned. I mentioned Ole Miss, the much maligned SEC.
There's one really good team in the SEC.
Better than I think. is what's scary. Watching it.
And again, Arkansas, once you get past Kentucky, Florida has been somewhat disappointing. I know they're playing South Carolina right now. I don't have it on in front of me, but South Carolina coming off that huge win over the weekend, and you start to think, is Angry Frank's squad for real? You know, 8-3 against Div 1 competition and a notable win away from home. Do they sneak up into the bubble? Do they sneak into the conversation, or was it just kind of a fluke day?
They have a couple of wins, to be honest. I think the SEC for me is maybe the toughest to figure out. Like I said, the Big 12 has a lot of interchangeable pieces.
Yeah. Oh, I apologize. I was looking at
Oklahoma and Baylor, etc.
I was misreading the schedule. They play Florida their next game. They're not playing right now.
It's weird. RPI, the SEC RPI, is actually strong.
Yeah.
But how did they compile that? I don't know. But there are a number of teams that if the tournament started today, I think would be getting their name called. I don't know how it'll turn out if they all go. I mean, teams that we don't talk about regularly. Your Georgias, your LSUs, your Arkansas you just mentioned. South Carolina will be, sitting waiting for one.
Yeah.
Beyond Kentucky, though, will these teams just beat each other up? Will the Ole Misses of the world and the Tennessees of the world, who are capable teams but probably not NCAA tournament worthy right now,
make
everybody 500 with Kentucky undefeated or one loss, going into the SEC tournament?
I ran this stat. I didn't do it last year, or at least I haven't done it yet. But when you look at the at-large field, and what I consider at large caliber is 12 line and up. The play-in game, or I'm sorry, the opening, whatever we're calling it, the first four and up. And generally, like out of those 48 to 50 teams, more than 40 of them won an out-of-conference game against another team from that group. So you're talking about teams that had at least one quality win out of conference. 80 to 90% of them. The SEC, Kentucky has a lot. LSU has the win at West Virginia. I think that that's where when you have so many teams needing to rely on winning conference games as their entire case, not everybody can win every conference game. So I think you're right. It will beat itself up a little bit. Georgia, I like this Georgia team a lot. I think they're much improved. I'm sorry?
Georgia to beat Seton Hall.
Yeah. Oh, Georgia did beat Seton Hall. Yes. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. So there's that one. I don't think Alabama's going to get it done. I don't have a lot of faith in A&M. I know Vanderbilt looked good in their last game. But the teams I like, Arkansas. But
I think Gale isn't much to speak of. They beat Connecticut. Okay. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
You caught Connecticut napping.
Yeah.
I think Vandy's weak, we're going to see that as Yale's RPI goes from the 60s slowly as Ivy League play undertakes to the mid-100s.
And it will. I don't even think they're the best team in the Ivy League. I just thought Vandy, eye test-wise, looked good in the game. Mm. That's all I meant. But Arkansas, how many of these teams, because in order to get a bid, like you have to win at Auburn. You have to win your home games, and you have to get at least a smattering of wins out, you know, on the road as well. And not everybody's going to be able to do that. I like this LSU team. I like Arkansas. I like Georgia, but God, they need to do something away from home. I mean,
yeah, and Arkansas, we always know is the home court hero.
Yeah. Yes, they,
and at SMU, but you've heard me say it before. Yeah. SMU was very simply Barnhill South for them. I mean, yeah. There are so many Arkansas people in Dallas. I guarantee, I wasn't at the game, but I guarantee you that crowd was at least 50% pig suey.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you lose to Mississippi State or Missouri at any time, I think, yeah. I'm not sure, but I'll have to run it by the committee, but I think you're automatically out.
Missouri is just a head-scratcher for me on how bad they are. It's UCLA Midwest, so to speak.
Right. As Lee Delvecchio would say, they're an absolute tire fire. I mean, what a disaster.
Well, speaking of Lee Delvecchio, the American, and the tire fire, that kind of is that conference right now. Something. UConn got a nice win against Florida. The loser was going to be basically in deep trouble.
Right.
What do you see happening out of the American?
One of the teams that I have in – I'll start out with what's impressed me. And this will not take long because not much has. One of the teams that I am legitimately surprised by is this Temple Owls team. Now, nothing spectacular. They beat Louisiana Tech, I believe it was the second game of the year, and at the time I'm like, oh, what an atrocious loss for what I thought was going to be a really good Louisiana Tech team, but with a really small margin for error. Like, you can't go out there and beat Temple. They played Vegas really tough. They lost a horrendous game to their Big Five rival, St. Joe's, and then had to sweat out LaSalle, who isn't particularly good, so you're thinking, all right, well, whatever. But, they blew Kansas's doors off. I mean, blew them out of the gym. They beat Connecticut at Connecticut.
Yeah.
Not easy. They've won their last five games, and three of those, I believe, have been away from home, and two of them were against Kansas and at UConn. I think that this Temple team, at least if you're just looking at the merit, if you're just looking at the paper, how do you not like them more than everybody else in that league right now?
No, I agree. I think they're going to be getting, the St. Joe's loss, I almost chalk that up to Big Five rivalry, like you said. That's really the only knock I have. Oh, you lost to Villanova? Well, who doesn't now, right, except for Paul? I would agree. A conference that seems to be a rival of the American, of the Big East, has a lot of the similarities, and I think could be looking at multiple bids this year. A good number of multiple bids is the Atlantic 10.
Yeah, and we saw a good number of bids out of it last year. And again, it's now. Again, the bottom of the Atlantic 10 is set your head on fire bad. I mean, you're talking Duquesne and Fordham and Joe's, who I know had a big win. But the top of the league, you're looking at a Dayton team that, despite losing a key player for discipline reasons or not, but Dietrich Scott, I believe, was dismissed from the team. They're very weak in the front court. But ever since that happened, this Dayton team has looked fantastic on the court. They hustle, they play together well, they have that chemistry. They seem to have all, in a weird way, gelled more after losing such a key player. And I don't know, I mean, I'm not in Dayton's locker room, I don't know if it's fair to speculate, but we've seen this before when a player gets thrown off the team, even if it's a star player or a key player, to where the team actually seems to play together better. And I think Dayton has. I think they've looked better since Dietrich Scott has left.
I think Dayton, I would agree 100%, and I'm sorry to just be an echo in that.
Yeah.
But I agree 100%. You see it also, sometimes even an injury, the rally around, if that player comes back, whoa, Katie bar the door. I mean, I'll reference back to our Big Ten talk, Maryland with Des Wells being an example of that.
Yeah.
Without Des Wells, they played well, except for the Virginia game. They played well without him. And now that he's back, whoa, look what he's doing. You know, Michigan State would like him to still be injured, obviously, after his great shot there.
Yeah.
But I think that theory holds a lot of sound, quite sound.
And again, if he was thrown off for discipline reasons, it could have been a locker room problem that's gone now. So even though you're without a serious talent, maybe the team is actually better. Now, a team I really like that has done way better, at least so far, I know it's still early in league play, than what I was expecting, is this Davidson Wildcat team.
Yes.
Mr. Virginia, I was expecting, again, they have a bloated record, but it wasn't amassed against any real stiff competition. They went to Virginia, and I know they lost, but I was more impressed with that loss than I was with any of the games they actually won. And they followed it up by winning their conference opener. I think this Davidson team, now, they're going to have their chances. They're going to get Dayton. They're going to get VCU. They're going to get George Washington. But there's more chances for them to hurt themselves than there is to help themselves. But if they avoid stubbing their toes and they come out with a couple of wins against the teams that are inside the bubble, this mm-hmm. Davidson team might go.
I agree 100%. I mean, they need like a win against, I don't know if this game happens, I haven't looked at the schedule, but a George Washington win at home would be really, a shot in the arm for them, or a VCU win, or et cetera. But they're not far off if they are. If they are off, they're definitively bubble worthy right now. And, VCU, George Washington, Dayton, those are real teams that are in squarely in the field right now. And
Dayton
are fighting for protective seeds, depending how they play in conference in the conference years.
Yeah, the Atlantic 10, it's always been a conference that I've followed closely. I've worked with some of those teams, and I was a fan of some of the Atlantic 10 teams and have followed the league. It is a grossly underexposed league. They have an awful television deal, and it's a long television deal. It doesn't expire until, I think, 2021. The schools earn less than $400,000 a year off of their media. I mean, as good as this league is, that is an embarrassingly bad TV deal, and it's underexposed. It's not on your major networks. In fact, they're not even allowed to play on free-to-air networks like CBS Sports Network, NBC Sports, that's who they're with. And there's actually something in the media contract that prevents the local NBC and CBS affiliates from showing the conference games. So I don't think, because the league is so underexposed and because unless you have a satellite package, it's hard to watch this league, I don't think people realize how good this league really is.
Yeah, I can affirm that. Another league that has bad TV situation, because I almost never get to see their games unless they're playing at somewhere else, is the Mountain West.
Yeah, and they're with Root Sports, but at least those games are on locally without the satellite package. It's just that we don't live out west.
Well, Colorado State, I don't. I do get their games on satellite. Colorado State finally lost their first game. They're a good team, but they did lose. San Diego State, what the hell was that? Against Fresno. the top part of that conference kind of took a hit.
Yeah, it did. And Wyoming has a bloated record. I am not that impressed with them. To be fair, I've only seen them play. They've played 13 games. They're 11-2. To be honest, I've only seen three or four of those. One was the Front Range rivalry game against Colorado. The other being at Cal. They weren't really good games to watch. I also watched the Colorado, or their first conference game that they lost. I can't even remember. They won against UNLV. That was a pretty good game. And then I didn't see, they had to sweat out San Jose State. I didn't see it, but maybe I've caught them on bad nights. I know they have a bloated record. I know it's a snake pit. It's not easy to win at Wyoming.
Home court hero. We know. They need to prove they can win. I mean, everybody thinks Colorado is the highest altitude, but actually Wyoming has the highest altitude.
They do, and it is a rabid, loud fan base, and they can beat ranked teams in that building. I just have not, and again, you probably disagree with this, I just have not been impressed with Wyoming despite how good they look on paper.
Well, the team that is starting to really, and I use Wyoming as a segue here, the team that might, in my opinion, better check themselves because they are right now wrecking themselves, so to speak, is that UNLV squad you mentioned.
Yeah.
They're out right now.
I think
they
so
need, they need to do more. And, yes, they have obviously one of the best wins of the year to their credit, but you got to do more than just one game right now.
Yeah, it is a whole body of work. Yeah.
At time.
And they've lost three of their last five. Now, their losses, none of them, you know, Utah, and I believe that game was in Las Vegas. They've lost at Wyoming, which we got done talking about. Wyoming probably won't lose more than one or two games at home all year. It's a snake pit, and at Kansas. Those are forgivable. But they have, you know, getting blasted by Arizona State is just not a good way to make a case for yourself. And when you look at what they've done, their wins are Morehead State, Sam Houston State, you know,
they're
Temple.
Two really good ones we know. Arizona and Temple are outstanding, no matter how you cut it.
Right.
But I think the Arizona State loss and the fact they aren't putting together a lot of other things, they're in a little bit more trouble than people think. I think the average person on the street probably goes, oh, UNLV, they're in right now.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah, I think they would be in right now, but they're not so comfortable to where they have to do better than what they've been doing to stay in. Like, their next two games are awful. Nevada and San Jose State, not just bad Mountain West teams, bad teams nationally. I mean, really awful teams. They need to win both of them.
State's in the 300 RPI range, and I'm not sure where Nevada is.
They both are. They're both sub 300, and they're probably going to end up sub 300. And you know, they if they lose one of those, holy cow! But they've been so schizophrenic, they might.
A former Mountain West team that I think right now is hanging around and, like, as they always are, and making the committee's job, going to make the committee's job ridiculously tough again, is look to the West Coast and BYU. Let's say Gonzaga is very worthy right now. They're, you know, protected seed level, and, you know, they're going to do great. Let's focus on BYU and discuss them and St. Mary's.
This St. Mary's, well, let's start with BYU. I really don't want to, but let's do it anyway. They're just so schizophrenic, and you run into this. They're all over the map. Like, they had the game out in Hawaii at the Maui against San Diego State, and that was a really good, really exciting game. But losing it, not only the only reason I bring that up is because it was a chance to get a notable win, probably not as notable as we thought at the time, but because they didn't win it, it kind of denied them other shots at notable wins because they had to play Chaminade, which doesn't mean anything. And then they beat a Purdue team, and then they lost to a pretty bad Purdue team. Since then, I think the best thing they've done this year.
Stanford.
Yeah, it is. They beat Stanford at home. The other notable thing they've done, and this isn't great, but it is the rivalry game against Utah State that went back to campus. I thought they were going to continue playing in Salt Lake, but was that game in Salt Lake?
I think it was at Utah State.
Okay, they do, but that's really it. And if those are the best things that they've done, when you're looking at singular accomplishments, is that enough? Now, there isn't anything really bad on their profile other than the loss to Purdue, but yeah. And the problem is, they just don't get the chances. I mean, you know, playing Pepperdine and LMU and San Francisco and Portland, I mean, nothing against those programs, but those are not the kinds of wins that are top 50 wins that the committee really values. What can they really do other than the games against Gonzaga and maybe St. Mary's to help their case? I mean, they're in a situation where the best they can do is avoid stubbing their toes.
And that's probably very true. Also, they have you mentioned Utah State, and they have a win against Santa Clara on the road. But for the most part, they're home court heroes once again, and that could be a plus. I always wonder, the committee says it will never be an issue, but if it comes down to a BYU versus a, you know, we just mentioned UNLV, and it's a toss-up. between those two teams.
I know what you're getting at.
The committee quit making this schedule away from Sunday.
Right. The reason it is building the bracket, there's about 40 rules to build the bracket that you have to follow, and at least 35 of them are utterly ridiculous, but they have to follow them. And BYU adds a 41st, metaphorically speaking, rule that is extremely hard to follow a lot of the time, and that's that they cannot play on Sunday. And you almost, when you're building a bracket, and we've done this, when you select BYU, you almost have to cheat and put them in before you and build the rest of the bracket around them, just to avoid the headache of moving so many teams around.
Yeah, and I want people out there, you know, that is actually a very serious comment. It's not just said for shock value. That is how you have to treat it. You have to look ahead and make sure you don't have your second, third round, as we're calling it, along with your regional.
Yeah.
Make sure that you have a Thursday-Saturday matchup. It has to occur. You cannot flip around, play around. You have to have this Thursday-Saturday matchup. They have to be in this particular way. Oh, all of a sudden, the West has to be Thursday-Saturday if they have any influence in the regional component of it. It's you know, because then all of a sudden they force Arizona, which might be at the same site as they are, to go, you know, in a sub-regional to be Thursday, and then all of a sudden the West then has to flow backwards from that. It's a real thing.
And again, you know,
this West has
the round of 16
of strength.
And for the round of 16 and 32, you look at, okay, who's at Thursday and Saturday? Okay, they have to go there, and then you have to look at the regionals, like you said, and make sure, are they, so it almost, like, you almost have to put them in before you put anybody else in. And then just build it around them.
And if it's a close call, they're all, you know, let's say that luckily the West Coast has their conference relatively early this year, as I remember. Their resume will be done.
Yeah.
And so you can at least evaluate them early instead of waiting on pins and needles to see if they happen to get an automatic out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. St. Mary's, they're out right now, but you always have to discuss St. Mary's. They have a strong RPI as always.
And St. Mary's did this year what they do every year. They played a rather weak schedule. In fact, this actually wasn't too weak by St. Mary's standards. They did go to Creighton.
Standards is one of the better ones.
Yeah, they played Boise at home, who's pretty good. UC Irvine. They've been disappointing, but they were a team that I thought was going to be really good this year. They've been,
they went to St. John's and gave the Johnnies a scare.
They did. And, you know, they've won their last five. They beat a pretty good Northeastern team in that stretch. But again, that's what they've done. That's arguably their best win, other than going to Creighton and winning. And again, the reason they're going to get credit for that, I know Creighton probably doesn't look like a tournament team right now, but Creighton is a snake pit. They'll probably win all but three or four of their home games if they even lose that many. So for St. Mary's to go there and beat them, and the committee does that too, if they see that you went on the road and beat a team, even if that team isn't a tournament team, but you're one of only two or three teams that beat them at home, you're going to get credit for that as if it were a quality win.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much the round out of your multiple bid conferences. What are some of the teams that you see popping out that are on the good side of the bubble despite being from otherwise one bid leagues, which – ironically, the West Coast might not be this year, depending on how BYU does.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally,
Gonzaga doesn't qualify this year. Maybe.
Right. A team and we'll get to the obvious ones. Your Wichita State, Northern Iowa, both teams in the ranking.
I should have mentioned the MVC probably is definitely a two-bid league. I apologize.
Yeah, and Evansville. I know Evansville. Oh my God, they followed up a great win against Northern Iowa with a loss today to Indiana State. But one team that's just I almost think it's a shame that no one has noticed them yet is this Old Dominion team. Is it Jeff Jones? Is he the coach there?
Yes.
Tremendous turnaround story. Now, again, Blaine Taylor did a fantastic job at Old Dominion. He had them in many tournaments. He took them to the round of 32 once. He was a recovering alcoholic. It was rather comedic, but it was also rather sad how he ended up being fired. They were not having a good year. He was noticeably intoxicated at his last game and then on his post-game show after the game. And he's someone that did really well with that program. I always thought he was a good coach. I hope that he gets another chance someday if he wants it. But Old Dominion was in rough shape. I think they were coming off of a 5-win season. Yeah. And so they won. This was a proud program that only won 5 games and had to dismiss their coach for reasons that were rather embarrassing. 2 years later, this is what Jeff Jones has done. They've only lost 1 game to Illinois State. It was on a neutral floor. They have a home win against VCU, a team that they really outplayed for most of that game. If you look at the score, oh, well, it was close. But Old Dominion really manhandled them. They beat LSU away from home.
Who's a tournament team right now. I truly...
Another win, and again, it's not going to sound as impressive as it probably was, at least I don't think, was the win against Georgia State.
Georgia State's a good team. They're going to win the Colonial.
Yeah. They're in the Sun Belt now. But, yeah. I think this Old Dominion team, I mean, those are 3 really good wins. No bad losses. And yet the voters don't even know they exist. I mean, I understand not ranking them, but how are you going to rank a team like TCU and just completely ignore Old Dominion is beyond me.
Well, Jeff Jones has done, he's installed the strong defensive mindset that he had in those Virginia teams that included a Final Eight run from the 1990s. Put in his style of basketball, and you don't need superstars with his style of basketball. It always is helpful, etc. But Old Dominion, you will know after that game that you have played, because they are a tough team. They are a physical team.
Yeah.
And they're going to, it'll be interesting to see how they go throughout Conference USA, which is not as down as maybe people think. I mean, UTEP's not a bad squad. They gave Arizona a scare earlier this year.
Yeah, UTEP's pretty good. And I still think this Louisiana Tech team has a high ceiling. It's just that they don't always play up to it. But
losses that they will collect, I think, will doom them from even.
Oh, yeah, if it hasn't already.
It probably has. Ready, unless they do something like a sweep in Old Dominion or something if they happen to play twice. I don't know the schedule well enough. If that occurs.
I don't believe it does, but yeah.
And you mentioned that the final conference will hit will be the Valley. Unless you have another team. Like, I don't think you're going to see right now the other teams that you would discuss, we saw last year. I mean, Stephen F. Austin's just the same thing again. Buffalo, Wofford, Wisconsin, Green Bay, these are some one bid, but I think all of them need to actually win their conference tourney right now.
The way it's looking at, unless it's a situation where they win out, then they may get looked at.
Put up a high record of 27-3, but even Stephen F. showed.
SFA, I don't even think that's going to be enough for them, although they did get a 12 last year, which surprised me. Well, it did and it didn't, because I think they were up to 27 in the rankings. But, I was thinking that they were about a 15-seed caliber team, and then they go out and beat VCU, and then I felt kind of stupid. But, again, sweating out, how is it this team struggles to beat teams in the Southland? And, I mean, the Southland is it's SFA, who's really good, and then a bunch of sub-200 teams. That's what it is.
Sam Houston State actually is a second team this year that's not awful. So it's better. The Southland's actually better than it's been, but that's still not good enough. Yeah. let's not get into a conversation of, they're not the new Missouri Valley.
The Missouri Valley.
Wichita State. How we think that they will turn out, because the Valley – Northern Iowa's already slipped up once. Do you see that happening more often with these top two, which I think is a clear top two?
I think it does because, I mean, I don't think it happens a lot, but if you look at the makeup of the Missouri Valley, I and again, they're buried on Fox Sports Midwest, and I don't think people realize how big of a following a lot of these teams have and how loud it is in those arenas and how hard it is to win there. Evansville is not an easy place to play. Northern Iowa, who's in the rankings, is not an easy place to play. Bradley, it's not easy to go in there. It's really hard to win on the road in this league. Now, I'm not comparing it to the Big Ten or the Big East, but I'm saying that even for a ranked team to go to the 9 or 10 schools that play in the Missouri Valley, you're not going to win all of those. You might win half of them. It's not easy to go on the road in this league and win, and I think you will see teams slip up. We already saw it with Northern Iowa. I don't think Wichita is going to run the table. I think Northern Iowa is going to get them. Evansville might get them. It's not easy to play on the road at those stadiums. It never has been.
No, I completely agree with you on that. It is, you know, teams like Drake –
yeah,
people care. You know, Illinois State has 25,000 students or something like that.
Yeah, Illinois State's arena is full, and you want to again a game that kind of got buried. We actually discussed it. Was Illinois State was outside the top 100 last year, but they only lost 3 games at home. And they really stepped up on Wichita, as I remember. They beat Dayton at home last year. Dayton, who was in the NCAA tournament, went to the Elite Eight. It is not easy to beat Illinois State on the road. It's not.
No. And as Old Dominion showed, even on the neutral site, they can.
Yeah.
While we look ahead to this upcoming week, what catches your eye coming up this week?
Okay. I'm
Big Monday starts off with a traditional ACC matchup of Notre Dame versus North Carolina.
Yeah, just a huge, I mean, long-standing conference rivalry we got going on here. Yeah, you caught
me. But that's an important game. Teams that, you know, North Carolina has the nice RPI, but they have Ohio State win and some wins like that. But some wins from traditional powers that may not be as nice as we thought when they did it.
Right.
Notre Dame has compiled, as you pointed out earlier, a nice gaudy record against maybe not the strongest of competition.
Right. So and I still think it is important. Both teams are high in the rankings, but that's really irrelevant. The thing is, in the grand scheme of things, it's irrelevant. I don't think we know enough about Notre Dame yet. I mean, this is a team, nothing against Georgia Tech, but they had to sweat out Georgia Tech at home. Are they really good enough to compete against the heavyweights on the road? We'll see. And you want to win the game, but if they go out there and they compete, that tells me something. If they go out there and just get obliterated, that also tells you something about how good they really are. Also tomorrow, what's up? Like West Virginia going on the road to Texas Tech. They need to. I mean, again, road wins will not be easy to come by in this conference. So they need to take. That might be a bigger game than what it appears, simply because they need that road win.
I like the Indiana Michigan State game tomorrow as well. Indiana is, you point out, a much better team than we probably everybody originally realized. I think they're solid, you know, and we'll see if they produce tomorrow against Sparty, who has, needless to say, disappointed today.
Right. We have our first edition of the Red River Shootout tomorrow, Oklahoma and Texas. Really like both these teams, and again, it's a rivalry game. It's a rivalry game between two protected seeds, and again, it's a chance to. You know, do you want the 2 line? Do you want the 3 line? These are the kinds of games you need to win if you want on those lines. Two teams that, again, to kind of go back on what we said earlier, I think this is the last big one tomorrow, that are in complete opposite positions that I thought they'd be coming into the year. Nebraska is at Iowa. I'm beginning to wonder if Nebraska is going to win another game all year long.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Miles is an outstanding coach. I will still stand by that, but... what's going on? I mean, is the luster gone to a degree? I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. As good as this team looked from mid to late January on last year, and the games they won, and the way they won them, and in winning on the road some of the games they won, how do you have that same team back and then some and be this bad? I mean, it's one of the more inexplicable things. Maybe it's bad coaching. I don't think it is. I'm a huge, huge fan of Tim Miles. Have been ever since the North Dakota State days. It is a little bit perplexing, but they have looked really bad.
Then on Tuesday, we have a nice doubleheader out of the Big East.
Yeah.
Marquette coming off a very good win. They're not in the tournament. They're still – Wojo's still trying to get the pieces together there. But yeah, they're going to Georgetown, see if they can build on what they did. And then the showcase game of the day is, will Villanova and St. John's – it's the who is better of the Seton Hall defeated teams?
Right.
Who will recover the quickest, so to speak.
Yeah, and this is a good showcase for the league. The ratings, again, have been bad, but with so many teams in the rankings, a top 15 matchup, this is the kind of thing that I think the league really needs. Another big win, Butler, who had a really nice road win over the weekend against a pretty good St. John's. Hosting Providence, so big, big night for the Big East on Tuesday.
Very much so, and two interchangeable parts of the SEC. It's good to see, because not everybody plays everybody, it's good to see an Arkansas-Georgia matchup on ESPN. That will be a primetime game for folks to watch and see.
All right. And then, like we have out of the ACC, Virginia Tech, Florida State. So if your television is broken, don't worry, because that's all you're missing is Virginia Tech, Florida State.
Well, the next day brings us once again a team we haven't talked about a lot out of the ACC, NC State. They're going to go to Virginia. Virginia, the last couple of games, has not played as well as they have to start the year, but is that because the competition played up a little bit in Davidson and Miami? You
know, I think that has a lot to do with it.
But would an NC State team who desperately needs to do something to get back on the right side of the bubble, after their loss? Yeah, the Wofford loss isn't as bad as people think, actually.
It's really not. The problem with NC State is just I just don't think they have it. It's not an issue of them swinging in. They just don't have the ability. I think Virginia just curb stomps them in that game.
In addition, we're going to see if Frank in his sweater really is angry, and see if they hold court against Florida. Billy Donovan needs to win like this if he's going to turn Florida around this year.
Yeah, big game there. Another one that's sort of under the – this Temple-Tulane game.
I was about to say Temple-Tulane is very interesting.
Yeah, and Tulane's an interesting team. I mean, Tulane every year, even in the Conference USA years, would play predominantly – sub-250 teams out of conference, get this nice record built up, and then proceed to not beat anybody in conference. And that was in the CUSA days when the league was pretty weak. But I've seen this Tulane team play a couple times, and I got to admit, I was impressed with the way they looked against Washington, and I thought they looked good against Memphis, at Memphis. Now, I know Memphis is not a good team, but they're normally better than Tulane, and Tulane went in and beat them. Is this I don't know, like, there is a little bit of buzz around this Tulane team. This is a big game for them. It's probably the biggest home game they've had in a really long time. This is not going to be an easy game for Temple to win.
We have some really good road tests coming up for teams. We mentioned, I'm going to pick out Wyoming, Colorado State. We mentioned Wyoming need to show something. Well, this is their chance to show they're not a home court hero. But the two games where ranked, highly ranked teams, highly, really on top teams will be walking in to road contests that they better watch out. Kansas playing a wounded Baylor team, as well as Maryland going to Illinois.
And Illinois really needs that one a lot more than Maryland does. I mean, they need to be out in full force and get that game done, but that's not going to be an easy game for Maryland to win. I agree. That is a great road test, but it is certainly a game they are capable of winning. So you mentioned in the other game.
Jumps out very much so.
Yeah, just a couple smattering of games from Wednesday. Two teams we talked about earlier, Davidson traveling to VCU, possibly two great tournament caliber teams. We mentioned that Davidson needed a big win. Well, this is their chance to get one. The game you mentioned that I love, I mean, the Front Range rivalry. I don't know how they do this. You might, Joby. How do they you know in the Big Five they'll designate, if it's a conference game, which of the two conference games is the Big Five game? I don't know if the Front Range does that or not, but this Wyoming-Colorado State game, the house is going to be packed finally. There's a lot of buzz up for this game. That's going to be a fun one. It'll probably be buried on Root TV somewhere, but be sure and turn in and see it if you can. And then the other one, Seton Hall travels to Xavier.
Seton Xavier can recover. They were, as you say, flying high, and then all of a sudden, boom, the X-Men decided to take it on the plane this weekend.
And they are a home court hero. I mean, again, they can beat top 15 teams at home, and then they can't beat sub-NIT teams on the road. So this is a big game for them. It's a big game for Seton Hall, too. They win this win. Wow.
Well, Seton Hall has put themselves in a position to do something pretty special. That's why I led off the broadcast with them. They really very much impressed me right now. Maybe I'm still living off their win over Nova, but they were doing it with Carrington and these kids. They just seem to have something. I could be proven wrong. They could finish 500 in the conference, but I like what I saw.
Right. See, Thursday night, Old Dominion goes to Marshall. I mean, it's a busy night of games, but none.
I mean, you've got does Michigan State, once again, they have yet another big game. They're going to Iowa. Iowa needs to hold court there. But it's not the high-end. You don't have big-time high-end games like we did earlier.
Memphis and SMU, that has NIT implications written all over it. I'll throw one out there, and again, it's real bubblicious, and it's teams that are probably either on or not even inside of it yet, but this is a pivotal, highly important game simply because these teams have limited chances, and they've blown a lot already. This Louisiana Tech UTEP.
I noticed that. That is very true. We're going to find out. If UTEP can get this win, UTEP has a chance of making a run, I think. Louisiana Tech needs multiple opportunities, including Old Dominion. UTEP might, this is a big deal for them. The final game I'll point is late night Pac-12 Network, if you're getting it. Arizona, who I think is trying to angle for a top seed, as I mentioned earlier, they're going to Oregon. Heck of a nice win for either side.
I'm not entirely sold on Oregon yet, but I've gone from the start of the season being sold on them being bad. And the reason for that is, I mean, there's off seasons and then there's bad off seasons. And then there was Oregon's off season. Holy cow. Losing all those players for all these legal troubles. And for them to come out and be an 11-3, I really am impressed. And they should be jacked for this one. This is one of those games. Like, it's a showcase game for them. And again, Arizona, get used to it. When you're ranked in the top 10 and you go on the road, they are going to be ready for you.
And quick note on Friday, we'll see how real two great upsets. It's the battle of two great upset teams as NJIT.
NJIT up to 7-9. Hopefully, they're our adopted team. If you've been following us on the Under the Radar podcasts, so we always get a shout out to them. They're 7-9. The reason they've played so many games is because they're an independent, and it's just hard for them to get regular games once conference play gets started. But we feel that with their win at Michigan, if they can finish above 500, hopefully the CIT is in the cards. On to the always busy Saturday.
Well, I think the game that really pops out to me is, you know, Big Ten. Everybody talks about the Big Ten. We have Ohio State at Indiana.
Yeah.
That kicking off things at noon. I think that is huge for Ohio State.
It is. They don't have a road win yet. That would be a big win if they could get that one. For those, again, the Patriot League rivalry, glad to see this game on television here, this Army-Navy game. And again, Army, this is more of an under-the-radar thing, but it's just because of the visibility of that rivalry. Army off to a 10-3 start, they might be one of the better teams in the Patriot League. Again, always, it seems like it's a broken record, but every day is a big day in the Big East. This Georgetown-Providence game is big. Yeah,
another great game start. Yeah. Then we have North Carolina hosting yet again.
Yeah.
You know, big host week for North Carolina as the new kid on the block, Louisville, comes to town.
And this one's going to be
additional ACC matchups, you know, going out.
Right. And again, that's going to be a fun one, that Louisville North Carolina game. You know, Louisville's already down there. you know, they went down that way and they won the night, although they had to sweat it out. I think North Carolina gets that one done. I think that they're playing better and it's not easy to beat them there. And it's not like they're not used to playing highly ranked teams at home.
I actually think Louisville might be able to take them. Yeah. Louisville's resume is a little weaker than people.
It is.
North Carolina, like I mentioned already today, North Carolina has a lot of what seem like great wins that haven't turned into, well, you know, hey, Ohio State still has a chance of really being a great win at the end. You know, we've discussed Ohio State a lot tonight. Louisville hasn't really, you know, their big showcase was Kentucky, where they got, you know, they didn't get creamed, but they were definitively outclassed.
Right. If Louisville were to get this win, it would be hands down their biggest win of the year up to this point. Yeah.
The another little game to watch out for. Northern Iowa, we've already seen them lose on the we've already seen them lose on the road once. Are they going to turn into that type of team? They play at Drake.
Yeah. I do not have any faith at all in this Drake team, but again, it's a little it's a conference rivalry and it's an intrastate rivalry. They might have some trouble with that one.
It's not the Red River Shootout, but Texas, after playing Oklahoma earlier in the week, they go to Stillwater and play Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
That is a very tough place to play.
Very tough. Very loud.
If Oklahoma State's going to make the tournament, they need to win games like this.
Yeah, they do. Seton Hall, again, going into the probably sub-NCAA tournament, but snake pit at Creighton. And again, I know Creighton is not a tournament team, but if you win at Creighton, the committee will give you credit for the win. It's going to be considered a pretty good win, even though Creighton probably not a tournament team.
Well, Boise State we have not talked a lot about so far. Boise State's going to that high altitude in Wyoming. We've spent a lot of time on Wyoming. That would be a great win for Boise State if they were able to do it.
Absolutely, and they need them. I think this is a good Boise State team. They're better than I thought they would be, but they don't have the paper yet. They need some credentials, and that is a big game for them.
Well, a team that has the paper and some good road wins is going to get another road test. Virginia walks into South Bend for the first matchup of those two teams since I think the NIT championship. well, actually, they played both last year in South Bend, but I think that before that, the previous meeting was the NIT championship game in the 90s, 92, I think.
Right.
So,
and again, this
it'll be a great matchup in South Bend.
Right. It isn't as big. This Baylor TCU rivalry, it isn't as heated or as big as some other ones, but there's a little heat there. I didn't realize that there was, but there definitely is in both football and basketball. They don't like each other too much.
Football will spill over basketball. There is a lot in the football because both teams blame a little bit. I mean, TCU flat out blames Baylor, you could say, for their inability to be in the – and rightfully so. An undefeated TCU team makes the football
Right.
Form.
And again, it's an old Southwest Conference matchup rivalry. They continued to play in football and basketball, or at least in football, even when they weren't conference opponents. And now that they're in the same conference again, you're absolutely right, Joby. That has poured some gasoline on the fire. But the fire was there before that. These two don't like each other.
And they're both those mid. They've always been little brothers to the big Texas and Texas. In that state.
So again, this is a big deal.
Later that night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I was just
later that
say,
night, Iowa State was at West Virginia, so that's why I was out of the same conference. I might add.
Right.
Great matchup.
Yeah, it is. So, was there anything else on Saturday? I think we hit all the big ones.
Yeah, Iowa State West Virginia was the one we hadn't hit on yet, but that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will be.
And Sunday is not as hot as you would normally have. You have an in-state rivalry with Duke and NC State.
Yeah.
Again, NC State getting yet another chance. Virginia on the front end of the week and Duke at home at the end.
Right.
Yeah. If they have any pulse, they need to show something.
Right.
Rutgers getting a rude awakening to Wisconsin later.
Right. Sunday isn't – it typically isn't one of your busier days, but there is a game here that is interesting. This Loyola team, Loyola Illinois, bloated record. Again, got it against weaker competition, but they are, again, one of those places that's not easy to win. Wichita State goes in there. It's going to be loud. It's going to be sold out. It's going to be – it's just when you are – the biggest date on that team's home schedule, it's not easy to go in there and win, and that's what Wichita faces every time they play on the road.
Right, and Loyola is a decent team. They're the type of team who has the ability to pull the upset.
Yeah.
If you play that game 100 times, Illinois State actually rings up a couple.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows if the couple pop up. You know. Loyola is going to be in the top half of the valley, I think, this year.
I think so, too. Illinois, Nebraska, a chance for Nebraska to pull off yet another disappointing loss at home. And then Arizona, and again, the second half of – they still keep the traveling partners, although not as strictly as they did in the Tim team format, going into what will be another, again – big game environment for Oregon State. They should win that one, but – that's the thing. Like, when you are, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, but when you are that team's showcase home game, it's not easy to win all of them. So.
Well, it looks like a fun week. Conference play underway. It was nice going through the conferences, getting a feel for where they go. The tournament selection committee, as always, will have a lot of eyes placed on all these weeks going forward. Once college football is done, which as of next Monday, 8 days from now it will be, every bit of college attention will be placed on this. And we're in the middle of the NFL playoffs. You know what that means. College basketball is right hot and heavy.
Yep. It continues to heat up as we go along. So that's it for this week. We'll be with you later on this week for Under the Radar, and be looking for the new bracket updates. It should be posted probably either Monday or Tuesday. And other than that, thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon.